Today is June 3rd, 2006, and this is the Weekly Roundup, a Mac Observer podcast. I'm Ricky Spiro. Welcome to June, everybody. I thought I'd take a moment to invite all of you to head to Podcast Alley this month and vote for the show. Haven't done that in a while. The link is up in the show notes, as usual. I haven't been making a big deal about voting or reviewing this show, but it really does help the show's visibility. It does help us out. We'd certainly appreciate it. How about this? I'll make a deal with you. I'm going to pester you all about voting during this month, during June, just during June, and then I'm going to clam up. Promise. But this month, let's take the place over. Let's vote for the roundup like no one's ever voted before. Huzzah! To get the full story on anything we cover in this show, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup. Now, having psyched all of you up, I'm sorry to say that this week was a snoozer. I'd call this the dictionary definition of a slow news week, but I've still got some context to get off my chest, so let's get the news out of the way and then get into it. By the way, if you hear rumblings and all kinds of noise while I'm doing this, we're into hurricane season here, people. Just at the front end of it, got a nice June storm going on outside. The week's most interesting story wasn't really news, it was speculation based on some interesting facts. GameSpot has reported that a tech sector recruiter with what they call credentials beyond reproach told them that game software engineer Mike Lampell, who used to be a technical director at LucasArts, was the target of aggressive recruitment by Apple. According to GameSpot's single, unnamed source, so take this for what it's worth, Mr. Lampell is heading up a top-secret group within Apple's iTunes department. Apparently, Apple wouldn't explain the exact nature of the job until after Mr. Lampell was hired and had signed a non-disclosure agreement. GameSpot was unable to get confirmation of Mr. Lampell's employment at Apple, which is notoriously tight-lipped about even the most mundane topics. That story will be fodder for this week's Context Machine, but there are a handful of other stories that got sprinkled with minor but relevant developments this week, so I'll take a few moments to scan down the list. I just don't want you to get caught being uninformed here. Worse than being caught with your shorts about your ankles. You might remember that a Samsung exec made a victory lap after it snagged a deal from Sigmatel to provide chips for an upcoming for upcoming iPod models. Apparently, he should have kept his mouth shut, because as punishment for making the announcement, Apple decided to cancel its deal with Samsung and continue to use chips from Sigmatel. The news comes at a good time for Sigmatel, since it's losing market share to China's Action Semiconductor in the low-end MP3 arena. Analysts expect Apple to ship about 7.4 million iPod shuffles this year. There's been some question whether Adobe, after acquiring Macromedia a little over a year ago, plans to discontinue certain of its products. At issue is the overlap between Adobe's Go Live web development application and Macromedia's Dreamweaver. Dreamweaver has long been the dominant of the two apps in the web development space. The other issue is Illustrator, Adobe's Illustrator, versus Macromedia's Freehand. And Adobe's Illustrator has long been the market leader in the illustration space in which it competes with Freehand. In a contravention of earlier comments by an executive at Adobe's French operations, Adobe Corporate announced this week that it has no direct plans to discontinue its Go Live and Freehand applications. Of course, the word direct in that phrase, direct plans, has a very specific meaning. Adobe has admitted that the market-leading apps, Dreamweaver and Illustrator, will keep most of the firm's attention, and that continued development of Go Live and Freehand will depend on customer interest. In other words, at least to me, that means those consumers might want to start packing their bags. Another positive review for an iTunes competitor surfaced this week, this time from the Daytona Beach News Journal. Like the review I mentioned last week, this one evaluates Windows Media Player 11, iRivers Clix Player, and MTV's Urge Music Service. The reviewer acknowledges that elegant is a word you would rarely see associated with a Microsoft product, but says Windows Media Player 11 has earned it. From its impressive functionality to its automatic connection with Urge, which is a joint venture between Microsoft and MTV. By the way, Media Player 11 also allows access to other pre-Urge music stores. The San Jose Mercury News also had a favorable review of Urge and of the iRiver Klix, which sells for the same price, by the way, as the 2GB iPod Nano. But the Klix offers a larger screen, a built-in voice recorder, and an FM tuner. Here's hoping that iTunes sees some true competition in the next little bit. Again, we'll keep an eye on it. Now, if, like me, you've ever wondered what the heck happened to Sony's version of an online music store, you can get a nice look at the life and death of a product and a big firm from an article that we ran this week about what exactly went wrong with Sony's Kinect music store. And the business of movie downloading continues to huff and puff its way across the starting line. Disney's Buena Vista movie division has entered into an agreement with Cinema Now to offer full-length movie downloads. 30 Disney titles are already available, starting with the release of Glory Road on June 6th. Disney plans on making movies available for download on the same day that they're released on DVD. The new download library won't include the popular animated movies from Disney's Pixar division, and it won't include Max either. Cinema Now is a Windows-only service and requires Windows Media Player 10 or higher. Cinema Now is considering adding the option to offer movie downloads for portable devices like the iPod and the PlayStation Portable. The conventional wisdom is that sooner or later, Apple will add feature-length movie downloading to the iTunes Music Store. And again, we'll cover all that when it actually happens. This next story may be a sign of the Mac's increased mind share, or it might be nothing at all. Best Buy retail stores in Southern California have greatly expanded their Mac offerings, complete with large signs heralding the new products. The company previously sold the Mac Mini, as well as the iPod and assorted accessories, but the new product displays include all of Apple's computer products, except for the XServe. Software such as iLife and iWork are also on sale. Okay, so let's get into the context machine. I mentioned before that I was going to talk a little bit about games on the iPod. Let me start with this. The basic premise of this show is that the Mac and the iPod are not just products made by Apple Computer, they're platforms. So the iPod is more than just a music player, it's a platform. And Apple has demonstrated again and again that it understands it can profit from viewing the iPod as a platform rather than just as a simple device that does one thing. So games would be a reasonable path for expanding the appeal of that platform. There are all kinds of reasons why you're stuck with an iPod when you're listening to it. You're usually stuck someplace that you're trying to do something or you're forced to be doing something like commuting, for example, where you're just sitting in one place and you're listening to music. So it'd be logical to add games to it. But I'm going to call it right now. If this happens, it won't be pitched. The game-playing iPod will not be pitched as an alternative to the PlayStation Portable or to the Game Boy. And there's going to be a lot of talk, if this happens, about whether or not Apple's trying to take on Game Boy or take on the PlayStation Portable. If games became a major feature of an upcoming iPod, they would be for casual gamers, and it would be something that you could play once or twice on a bus ride. Right, it's the sort of thing that people use games on their cell phone for. So in that sense, it would make the iPod much more of a competitor to the games on cell phones than games on dedicated game players like the PlayStation Portable or the Nintendo Game Boy. Now, the game or the games that you could play while listening to your music. That's a very interesting aspect of this. I would find it very surprising if Apple set aside the music thing and said, oh, we're going to add games and games are going to be a totally different thing. I'd much more expect that the games or that any games that would come on an iPod would be games that you could play while listening to your own music. That's a very big deal here as well. Apple has made it very clear again and again that they want people to think about the iPod as a music player first, even if it does other things, even if it attracts people for other reasons. They want people to look at it as a device that does one thing really well, allows you to listen to your music in ways that you like. So I'd be very intrigued to see games that were designed to allow you to listen to your music while you were playing them, or even games that were based on the music that you were listening to in some way, dealt with rhythm or other things that showed up in the music and created a visual or game-related aspect based on that. That'd be very interesting. I don't know if it could be done, but it would be very interesting. Now, this is the single most important thing, in a sense. If Apple were to begin building games for the iPod, the first thing that they'd want to do is they'd want to release, or what they'd want to do as they were announcing it to the world, is they'd want to release an application programming interface, an API, to the general public. Anytime that a company wants to have a platform for doing something, and they want people to adopt that platform widely, the company releases an API, and they say it's a set of tools, developer tools, that people can tap into to easily do certain things in order to write new software for that platform. And creating a good, well-documented, easy-to-use API is the best way to get developers to latch onto something and start developing for that platform. Now, people talk a lot about how Apple likes to have control over its own stuff. So why would Apple ever release an API to developers? Well, sure, Apple likes to have complete control. It likes to be vertically integrated. It likes to make the hardware and the software. But at the same time, like I said, they've been very deliberate in making the iPod into a viable platform. They created the iPod dock connector, and they made the Made for iPod program, and they're pulling in, or they're encouraging this iPod economy that's built up around the iPod. So why are they doing that? Well, the motivation behind that in a business sense is clear. It's the alternative to licensing out either the software or the hardware. It's the alternative is to say, we want to make it really easy for people to get involved in this platform because it creates a kind of lock-in. If developers are developing for that platform, and if users latch onto that platform as something that works well, it creates the sense that it's the only viable solution out there, or that it's the most complete solution. This, of course, is something that the Mac, in comparison to the iPod, it's been a big problem for the Mac, because people view Windows and Windows-based PCs as the only viable computing platform because there's a lock-in around it. They believe, many people believe, that the only way that you can get all the software that you want to be able to run is if you're running Windows. That's the exact situation that the iPod is in. People often believe, and to a large extent it's true, that you can only do the things you want to do with a music player if you have an iPod. And so creating an API, creating this opportunity for development of games to happen on the iPod would be a very big part of creating or helping to ensure that lock-in going forward. Most of what Apple has done when it comes to the iPod and iTunes has been developed around the idea of promoting lock-in, making the iPod the only viable music player out there. Now, there are some other interesting business elements here. Offering iPod games, if Apple was creating iPod games, or if it created a developer community around making iPod games or other iPod software, it would give Apple another thing, get this, to sell through the iTunes Music Store. Think about that for a second. Right now, Apple sells songs. Everyone expects them to start selling music. It would make a lot of sense if Apple started selling this stuff through the iTunes Music Store, selling games, selling software for the iPod. Now, everyone can probably digest that, but if they're selling stuff over the iTunes Music Store, then you could imagine all of this stuff is portable, so why don't they sell it over cell networks? which might remind you of something else that a lot of people have been mentioning over time. There's been a lot of talk in the last several years, as Brian Chaffin mentioned once when he was in the Context Machine. For several years, people have been talking about the idea of Apple creating a mobile phone. So let's take a moment and put this other stuff that I've been talking about into the context of the cell phone business. I'm going to present the following idea, and I think that in some sense, I've gotten this message listening to the various types of public relations arguments Apple has made over the years. It seems to me that the world really isn't ready for a do-everything cell phone. The infrastructure isn't there. Technological infrastructure can't really handle broadband communication for downloading large files. The battery lives in phones are too short. And the single biggest thing, the single hardest thing to correct in many respects, is that the integration with the computer has been lousy for years, and it hasn't really improved over time. The computer is where all the really useful and cool stuff is. That's where all of it happens. The music, the movies, contacts. And unless you have really good integration, a do-everything cell phone is always going to tank. And a lot of people have seen that over the years, and very slowly people are starting to latch on to the fact that people really want to control their lives on the computer. This, like I said, jives with something that Apple in its PR efforts has been very vigorous about. They're saying that the PC, the computer on your desk, is the center of the digital life, and all of the other devices are going to plug into that. So sure, they had big success with the iPod. The problem is that cell phones haven't gotten there yet. Cell phones haven't figured out how to interface with a computer, and the attempts that people have made have been mediocre so far. Now, I don't know what Steve Jobs has in mind, but I can tell you what I see happening in this industry. Apple has been slowly adding functionality to the iPod, ensuring solid iTunes integration with each new feature that it offers. When it offered contacts, when it offered calendar synchronization, and then when it offered movies and videos. Not movies, I guess TV shows and short videos is what it's been pitched for. So each year, the iPod's range of abilities is growing, and it's extending its appeal, and it's solidifying its place in the market. So let's just imagine that in a few years, and this is not far-fetched at all, the iPod would play music, it'd play movies, it'd play TV shows, and let's just throw in what I was talking about earlier. Let's say that it lets you play games. Let's say that there's a developer community built up around that. It's become a popular casual gaming device while you're going from place to place. Let's say that it, you know, let you read your emails, let you synchronize your emails. And let's say maybe even it reads your emails to you if you want it to while you're sitting on the bus. I don't know. Let's say that it can do all these things and perhaps automatically updates with articles from RSS feeds, reads the news to you every morning. Who knows? Let's say that it stores your contacts in your calendar. Well, it already does that. If the iPod did all of that, adding cell phone functionality would be, frankly, technically, comparatively pretty simple to all the work that they'd already done. And in fact, according to the conventional wisdom, which Brian Chaffin explained again in a previous show, everyone seems to believe that Apple has done most of that work already, that it has something kind of in its labs right now that's some approximation of a cell phone. So it would be technically pretty simple, but assuming that the iPod in a few years has remained a top pick with consumers, it would cause a sea change in the consumer technology landscape because Apple would already have the infrastructure to sell music, to sell movies, to sell games, to sell whatever it wanted to that it currently sold or at that time sold through the iTunes Music Store. It would be able to sell that over the cell networks and directly to whatever this phone was. And of course, all of the synchronization stuff, all of the ability to communicate well with the computer when you got home, that would already be there. So, I don't know what Apple's plans are. This is just what I would do if I were in charge, which I'm not. So anyway, take all of that for what it's worth. That's, again, we dive into the speculation pond every now and again on this show, and it's worthwhile in the sense that it provides some context to the rumors and to the speculation and to the comments that you see analysts make. So perhaps that makes sense to you. Maybe that seems silly to you. Let me know what you think about it. If you have comments, thoughts, questions, anything that you want to get off your chest about the news, you can send that to me. And the email, as always, is roundup@macobserver.com. And I would love to hear what all of you have to say about any of this. Speculation is fun. All right, let's do the product roundup. Let's do some actual real stuff that's happening now. Collectors.com announced the immediate availability of Music Collector, Movie Collector, and Book Collector on Thursday. The three database applications track and manage your music, movies, and books, download information about the titles in your libraries from the internet, track items you loan out, and more. Music Collector, Movie Collector, and Book Collector are available for download at the Collectors.com website and are priced at $40 each. Escient on Thursday released Fireball PC, free software that enables Macs and Windows computers to share music with the company's Fireball Media Managers, which are hardware media servers that connect to a network and to a home entertainment system. Hewlett-Packard on Wednesday introduced new DeskJet and OfficeJet printers with all-in-one printing, copying, and faxing functions. The DeskJets are priced between $40 and $80. The OfficeJets are priced between $100 and $200. Microsoft announced that it has developed the wireless laser desktop, a wireless keyboard and mouse combination for the Mac. It'll be available this summer for $100. And Parallels announced the immediate availability of Parallels Desktop Release Candidate 2, the final candidate before the official product release. The update adds Parallels Compressor, a tool that can reduce the size of a Windows 2000 XP or 2003 virtual disk by 50%. It also adds several other new features. Parallels Desktop is a Windows XP on Intel Macs solution that does not require rebooting, and it's free as long as it's still in public beta. Soul Robots announced the immediate availability of Road Trip Effect Pro on Tuesday. The software builds animated maps showing travel routes that you can use as transitions in movies. I cannot tell you how many times I've needed to do that, you know, just in the last week. Road Trip Effects Pro is priced at $25. And that's the news. Thanks for listening to the Weekly Roundup. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, and the bass is by Boom for TMO. Stay subscribed, everyone. Until next week, we'll see you online.